So, because I'm not going to miss church, you know. So I worked three 12-hour days. I was no way I was had any energy left on those evenings. So there's four nights left, and well, I'm going to church on Sunday, Wednesday night Bible study, and Saturday is coffee house, and plus he works shifts, so. So I said, well, I'll come to a Bible study with you. Well, the pastor gave out homework for the first time that I knew he gave out homework. And he's phoning up his grandpa to find out if he had the right answers. And so it was almost a month to our meeting that he came to a coffee house. And I'm sitting there near the end of the meeting, and Pastor Terry was in the group that night. And I'm praying, oh, Lord, make him raise his hand. I wanted him saved. And so I'm kind of hinting around on the way home, like. And he said, you know what? I didn't raise my hand, but I did ask the Lord to be my Savior. And I know I thought afterwards, I get no credit. I was saying, God, make him raise his hand. But I'm young in the Lord, right? But anyways, he doesn't force himself on anybody. You have to want him yourself. And so I thought, oh, that's great, because I prayed, make him raise his hand, and Clayton did not raise his hand, but he received the Lord. He had a little, he was going, big Bible Terry over here, but Clayton had a little wee, you know, the New Testament, you give it, Gideon's in about grade 5 or 6. Well, he read that through in a month, and he asked me all these hard questions. I said, I don't know the questions. I just know Jesus is real. So we were engaged in December of 82. And I said, if you want to have kids, you better find somebody else. Because I thought I would not make a good mother. And so we're engaged. We're setting a wedding date. And all these plans are coming. I'm going, Lord, I know he loves me, but help me to love him. If this is right, you got to do something for me. And in that prayer, it just felt like walls came down, and I had waves of love for Clayton, and I knew everything was going to be all right this time. Because with those emotional hurts of what the first husband did, it was, you know, you kind of build up some walls to protect yourself, right? And so we were married in May. So that's pretty quick, right? Met in October, engaged at Christmas, married in May. There was an ad in the Best View, in the paper about Best View Nursing Home. They wanted volunteers, and I clipped it out, and I put it on a little bulletin board, and I left it there. And then the Lord gave me another dream that I was at the nursing homes to volunteer. So I goes, oh, I guess I'm supposed to do something about this. So I went and I said, well, I sing gospel songs. Is that any help to you? So that's how I started a nursing home ministry. It was to go and sing the old gospel hymns with the dear people. And another thing I was reminded of recently, one of Pastor's sermons, was to do things, you know, that are out of our comfort zone. So we had taken some Bible, Christian Foundation courses. There was about 10 courses that were offered in a Bible study. And I thought, oh, these people need that, you know. So I went to Pastor McKinnon and I said, I'd go help. I'll go sing. And maybe some of these young ministers could go and do these, some kind of a Bible study with them. So Pastor McKinnon said, well, you have the light. Maybe you should go. No, not me. But anyways, you know, I didn't have any peace, so I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I was trying to pass it on. The burden was on me to do something, and I wanted to give it to somebody I thought would be better at it. But obedience is good if you put something on your heart. I went to Pilgrim Camp early in 85, and I was wrestling with the desire to have children, but fearful I wouldn't be a good mother. And God brought me to the place where I had peace and trust that he would help us raise them. I had heard two ladies giving testimonies about painless deliveries. So when I found out I was pregnant, I prayed. I asked the Lord to do the same for me. We went to the prenatal classes, discussed the stages of labor and what to expect. I had to ask the Lord, Lord, am I in labor? These things were happening and, am I in labor, Lord? And so we decided to go to the hospital, and the contractions for me was like as if you just put your fist tight and let go. And so by the time we're going to the hospital, I'm 3 minutes apart. So we get there, and Clayton gets me up to the maternity area, whatever. And there's other people walking off their labor pains, and husband and wife walking down the halls, you know. So he went to park the car, and the nurses asked me, who's your doctor? What are you allergic to? Blah, blah, blah. I said, how do you stop pushing again? How do you breathe to stop pushing again? Because I knew it was going to happen soon. And he comes back, and they tell him, get this garb, you know, the gown on. He goes, I got to wear this gown around walking around halls, you know. And they said, hurry up. Anyways, so they called for the doctor to hurry up, too. And two pushes, like I have a baby girl. So I want you to believe God. There was a curse put on women in travail and childbirth, and Jesus paid the debt for all sin and lifted the curses that came with it. We have three daughters, Rebecca, Rachel, and Lydia, and three grandchildren, Aaron, James, and Natalie. 25 years ago, I was reading through the Easter story in the Gospels, and in John, he reveals himself to Mary. And I'm going to paraphrase it. He said to Mary, I'm alive and go and tell others. The Lord spoke to me, Judy, I'm alive and go tell others. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Sorry, I shouldn't shout in the microphone. I'm a 3-time cancer survivor. In October of 2004, they found cancer behind my left eye. And on the way home, I said, What lesson do I need to learn, Lord? They did a 1-week radiation treatment and follow-ups every 6 months. And in October of 2009, the tumor started to grow again, and there was no option. The eye had to be removed. It wouldn't be able to take the radiation. And I was thankful for 5 years with 2 eyes. If the devil thought that he was going to shut me up by taking an eye, he was wrong. It made me more determined that by his grace, I will sing praises to my God in all circumstances. I did shed tears and had anguish over having to lose the eye. But the Lord gave his whole body and his life for me. Not my will, but thine be done, Lord. The day of the operation, I had great peace. Mom and Dad and Clayton and 1 daughter, Lydia, came with me. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we went into the hospital, and then the first floor is admissions. You know, what are you here for today? I'm having my left eye removed. Okay, go up to this floor. What are you having done today? I'm having my left eye removed. So I, go get changed. And you can go back out and sit with your family. Well, it felt like a heaviness there. I said, Dad, tell me a joke. I could use a laugh right now. He says, I can't think of any. I said, well, okay, I'll tell you one, Dad. That's a peace of God that passes all understanding, right? Hallelujah. So my mom came to help me out for a few days when I got home, and we had to do this cold compress thing, and you'd have to boil the water, and we'd put the pot in the fridge, and then later on, when it was time to do that, we'd put a washcloth in there and do these cold compress things. So it was almost 10 o'clock. We were watching a show together. And I knew she'd want to go to bed right away and not wait the 15, 20 minutes. I said, Mom, we can do that now. And she said, are you sure? I said, sure. I still got one eye to watch TV while we laughed and laughed, you know. And then I had to drive. First time I drove, I was giving Rachel a ride somewhere. And we're going along. I wanted to change lanes. I said, oh, talk about a blind spot. I really have to turn my head. So I apologize. If you come at me from this side, okay, as I'm looking forward, I see a little bit here. I have to turn, right? So if you come out of a pew on my left side, I might run into you. I'm sorry. Clayton knows I love the Christmas lights, and it was putting them outside that year. And Aaron was young then, and him and I are in the house, and I've got Joy to the World on a CD player. And there was a big tree in the center, and he said, that's my tree, Grandma, and you can have these small bushes. But I was so happy I had one eye left that I could still see and enjoy that. So sometimes we take for granted what we have, don't we? November of 15, the cancer from the eye had migrated and was slowly growing in the left breast, so I had to have a lumpectomy. I have another CT scan in May, well, this month, and a follow-up in June, so they're still keeping an eye on me. When I first said I thought mission, first saved, I thought mission work was really appealing to me. And at one point, men from this church were going to Haiti, and Clayton would say, others can go, but I'm not going. They can go. Well, the Lord has a sense of humor and never say never. So Clayton, the one who didn't want to go anywhere, he gets to experience two extensive trips to Africa and one to South America. I finally was able to accompany him and Reverend Crosby in two trips to Jamaica. And it was a highlight of my life. It was exciting to be in his presence and to feel alive and useful in a different setting. Not that I don't feel it there, but it was something really precious about going away and doing something for God. I'm thankful for the opportunities I've been given in this church to serve the Lord in coffee house groups and worship teams and teaching Sunday school. Clayton and I went to Sunnycrest Nursing Home doing services 32 years together before COVID shut that down. On Easter Sunday of this year, Clayton and I were invited to the Havelock United Church, that church I was in so long ago. I was able to give a short testimony proclaiming Jesus is alive, that I'd asked him to forgive me, to come into my heart. Years ago. And I encouraged them. Jesus would reveal himself to them too. It was a privilege to be able to return to that church. I'd looked for the Lord in and to tell them that I found him. Then I sang the song Stronger, and Clayton preached the sermon. So sometimes if we get an opportunity to go, we're going to go proclaim that Jesus is alive. God is in the control of every situation, and he knows what's best for me and what it takes to get me to draw near to him. I'm trusting and believing him for the salvation of my children and grandchildren. God bless you all.